If you're listening to this podcast, there's a really high chance that you are also interested in cookbooks. So I wanted to let you guys know that my cookbook, Elevated Everyday Paleo, is officially out wherever you get your books from. It's a collection of recipes that I believe make everyday cooking just a bit more special, and I hope it reminds you that there's art in so many little moments of life. You can grab it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookseller. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Manual Mode. I'm your host, Mariah Sautel, and today we are talking all things video, which I'm really excited about because it's an area that I am trying to grow in myself, and that even if you are primarily a food photographer, you need to have some knowledge of this, some things in your portfolio that show that you understand video, especially if you want to be repped or work with higher level clientele. So, because I could not do this by myself, I brought in a special guest, Renee Lee of Foodie Renee. She lives in Long Island currently, where she runs her food photography and video business. Renee has just some of the most polished, professional-looking styling and food photography videos that I've come across to date, and I can't wait for you to hear more about her special tips and tricks for just producing stunning video. So, without further ado, here's Renee. All right, Renee, welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you today. You have such a lovely portfolio and, you know, clearly know what you're doing in the food photography world, but I'd like to go back to the beginning and learn a little bit more about how you first found food photography and started your work in that area.
Okay. I started food photography actually really late, back in 2018. That's when I started my Instagram. And before that, I didn't know anything about photo shooting. I didn't know, you know, aperture, shutter speed, ISO. I had nothing, I had no clue how to use the camera. And then I saw those food pictures on Instagram, and it was amazing. I was like amazed, like how, you know, the food can look very beautiful and with all those stylings and props. And then that's when I started my food photography journey. I think I took some online courses from Lauren, the girl from London, and also some other online workshops. So that's how I started my food photography journey very late. So it's been almost 3 years. Yeah.
Your work is so beautiful. So I wouldn't say you started late. It seems like you started right on time.
Yeah. I always have this passion for cooking as a very young girl. And I always love art, you know, painting and also the plating. I always do the plating at home. And so that's how, like, when I started food photography, I found, like, you know, everything is connected. That's what I always want to do and love to do.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about how you've kind of learned more food styling, because your styling is so pretty? Like, what are maybe some things that you've learned throughout your experience just growing in that area?
For food styling, for the colors, I didn't use all those rules of like the color, you know, like how to combine the colors together, because I guess I have this background of painting. So I know what the color would look like together. So, but for the styling, I always start with simple. I mean, your main object is the most important thing. And then you can try to add some props that helps you tell the story. If the props and other flowers or other props does not, they do not help you to tell the story, and then it's unnecessary to put in your pictures, you know. So your food, the main object, is the most important thing. Yeah.
Speaking of props, what are some of your favorite places to find props from?
Vintage shops.
Yeah.
Vintage shops. Yeah. Yeah. I think I made so many mistakes at the beginning. You know, I buy everything that looks very pretty, but it doesn't work for food photographer, you know. So I spent a lot of money on that. But then after that, you really have to think about if the props have the texture that you want in the pictures. And so for photography, especially food, the texture is very, very important. It plays a huge role in food photography. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Can you tell me a little bit about your relationship with the business side of it? I've seen you work a lot with some of the same clients throughout the past few years. So I assume you are really good at maintaining long-term relationships with clients. Like I know Suncor, you've kind of created a lot with them. So what would you say are some tips for getting those repeat clients?
So for those clients, I actually signed a contract with them. You know, so I have been working them for a long time. And so for maintaining the clients, I actually do not have any like perfect tips or suggestions. It's just you have to make sure your works, you know, meet their standard and they really like your work. And then we'll come back to you for sure. And and most of my clients, they came to me actually, and I didn't do a very, very good job for my own business. You know, I don't pitch a lot of clients. I don't do that. And because this business is very, very new for me. I just started Foodie Renee this year. I was a middle school math teacher, and I quit my job this January. So everything is very, very new for me. And most of my clients, they came to me and they want to sign a contract with me for the whole year. It's big. I think that's because like they really like your work, and you know how to use their products. Yeah,
for sure. Your work, I think, speaks for itself in a lot of ways, which can really help market you even without having some of the other components, just when your work is so good. So I know you have done a lot with video, and that is a big thing that a lot of brands are looking for right now. So can you tell me maybe how you first started doing video, and then we'll talk a little bit more about maybe some tips you have for us after that?
Yeah, sure. And so videos, I did some videotapes when I was very young, but it has nothing to do with it's not like the video I'm doing right now. It's different. And so the time when I started, when I really want to do the video, was when I got married, and we hired this videographer from China actually, and he did this amazing video for us. It was like a love story. It's like a film. It's not like a documentary of your wedding. And I was so amazed how he told the story of our wedding, you know, of our story. And then from that after that, I saw about why don't I put this into my kitchen. You know, I want to record how what I'm doing in the kitchen, but through different angles. So that's how I started. I have watched a lot of videos and movies. You know, you took the inspirations and you learn how they shoot the food, how they move the camera, and that's how I learned. And after that, I sent my video to that videographer. We became friends, and he would always give me the feedback how you can improve and how you can make the lighting better. Because lighting is very, very different for video shooting compared to photography. And so my friend, that videographer, has been helped me a lot for my videotaping journey, you know.
That's great. You mentioned the lighting. I assume you're using a continuous lighting setup for video. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of maybe what your lighting setup is like?
Yeah, actually I use both.
Okay.
Yeah, I use both because I want to use natural light for video shooting. But as you can see, my studio is a little bit dark. And so what I always do is natural light is my main lighting source, and I would use a continuous light for bouncing to as the fill in light,
right?
Yeah, on the other side. And sometimes I also do point the continuous light to the ceiling, so I have the bounce light back to my food. It's very, very soft. Yeah, so that's the two ways I set up my lighting. And sometimes if it's too dark outside, I don't have much natural light, I would also put a artificial light outside the window. You know,
I've seen you do that on, yes, on your Instagram, yes, stories.
I love that. I really like that. It's feel like it's very easy to control the light. And especially if you put the light outside the window, it looks more like a natural light, you know? Yeah. So that's my tricks for the lighting setup.
What do you use to edit your videos?
Premiere Pro.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I figured. So when you're doing some of these videos, you just are capturing so many angles. Are you using two cameras or do you just use one camera and position it in different places?
I only use one camera for that. It's the same for like film. You know, sometimes the actors, they have to repeat the same thing for like three times. So you just, you know, repeat the whole process like two or three times. It's a very time consuming thing, but I just love the result, you know. So
yeah, I'm sure your clients love it too. So can you give us any tips you've picked up? I know on a previous interview, Allie had mentioned to us that she always tries to start a frame with movement, so never like starting from like a static place. So I'm curious if you have any of your own tips that you've kind of picked up along the way that help make your videos just higher quality and better or more interesting.
Yeah, I think adding some movements to video, it's very important. It will make your video looks more interesting, you know, and it's because for me, I'm the person that behind and also in front of the camera, sometimes it's impossible, you know, to move your camera while you are cooking in front of the camera. So my suggestion is to use a slider. Right now, there are so many sliders on the market that you can set, you can use the app and to set when the camera is going to move, you can do that. That's very, very helpful. And also another thing you can do is in Premiere, using all those key points, you know, when you are editing. So you can also add some movement when you are editing the video. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So you're doing everything yourself. You don't ever have anyone else in there like moving a camera or anything?
No, unless like I really need my husband to help me with that, I will ask for the help. Otherwise, I'm doing it all on my own. Yes.
Very impressive. Do you have a lens that is your favorite for using for video?
Yeah, I use 105 for most of my videos. I just like the look from the zoom lens 105, and the other lens I use is 50.
Okay, is that kind of what you like to use for photography as well, or?
Yeah, I use 105 for photography a lot. I would say maybe 90%.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah, it gets all that nice up close detail and all of that.
Yeah.
Can you give us any tips for food styling, maybe as it relates to video? Are there any things that you've learned about trying to make the food look really good, especially when you're capturing it in video and catching more sides of it and things like that?
First thing, the lighting. Lighting is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a very good lighting, like no matter what you put in the frame, doesn't help. So make sure you have very good lighting. It's not overexposed or underexposed. And if your footage is overexposed, it's impossible for you to, you know, to turn it back when you are editing. It's a little bit different from food photography. So make sure you have the perfect exposure. And then for lighting, for the styling, I think it's the same as food photography. I use the same concept, the rules for my videography. And just make sure you do not put too much in a video. Otherwise, it's going to confuse your audience. What is your main object? Right. Yeah, just try to make sure you have the main object and then start to add the components that helps you tell the story.
For sure. So when you're planning a video, do you storyboard or like what's your process for deciding how that's all going to go?
That's a very good question. So for storyboard, I don't do storyboard. But I would try to take a look of my backdrops to see if the color matches the food. You know, I first pick out the backdrop and then some of the props and just to match the color and see if it if that's the style or feeling that I want. And then I would do like a small script, just help me to remember what you should do first. What's your first thing? What's your second thing? And different angles you want to use for that scene. I would write down and then take a look while I'm taking the video.
Gotcha. Do your clients ever want approval on what the video is going to end up being like, or are they usually pretty kind of open-ended in what they're wanting?
The clients would give me, would ask me to create whatever I want, so which is a good thing for me. But I do send the video for them after the editing to take a look if it's if the color is correct, you know, although if they want more bright or dark. I would ask them after the edit.
Gotcha. So what are some things that you are planning kind of for 2022? Any things that you are wanting to work on personally with your work, or any bigger projects that you're hoping to get in the new year? What's kind of coming up for you?
For this coming year, I think I would definitely focus more on videos, because I know it's a very time-consuming thing, but I really like it. It gives me more space for my creativity. And yeah, I would definitely learn more about how to take a video, and that's my focus for next year. And for my social media, I'm also gonna share the behind scene of my video, because a lot of people have been asking, you know, how you set up the light, and they're very curious what I'm doing in this studio. So I'm going to do that on the Instagram. And yeah, I think that's it.
I mean, that's a lot. So
that's a lot, because video, it's a huge thing. And yeah, that's a lot, actually.
Do you think you'll ever do any workshops or anything teaching video?
Yeah, I have been thinking about that. But because of the COVID, so I don't know when it's going to be the end. So, but after that, I'm definitely thinking about having an in-person workshop of food video shooting, because it's very difficult to do this online.
Right.
And, yeah, but that's a definitely good idea.
Oh, I'll sign me up whenever it happens. For sure. So my last question for you is, what is your favorite thing to cook?
My favorite thing to cook? Oh my God, this is so hard. I would say cake.
Yeah.
That's the favorite thing to cook. And for, I know I don't share much the savory dishes, but for the savory dish, I would say the beef stew.
Love a beef stew. Do you have like more of a sweet tooth when it comes to what you want to eat, or is that more just like your favorite thing to cook?
Favorite thing to cook. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, thank you so much, Renee. I'm very excited for everyone to hear your take on video and all of that. And hopefully one day we'll get that workshop. That would be great.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me here.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of Manual Mode. I'll be back same time, same place next week with a new guest. In the meantime, if you could rate, review, and subscribe, it really helps the show. And until next time, keep creating.